Ron McGill going to join us in just a second here on the Shell Penzoil Performance Line. It's champion versus champion at UFC 254 when Khabib takes on Gaethje. Coming this Saturday, October 24th, special start time of 2 p.m. Eastern, only on ESPN Plus. Pay-per-view UFC 254 is exclusively available.
What are you laughing at? Mike, what are you laughing
about?
What
do you mean? Gaethje?
I thought, and he just skipped Khabib's last name, right?
It just says Khabib here. That's all it says.
I mean, he's entered the that threshold, the tier of one name people. And it's also predicated on his last name being really difficult to pronounce.
I'm going
to
go two of the rest of the way. I'm just telling you.
Why is it Gaethje, though? He hasn't arrived there, has he? I mean, do you have a first name?
A lot of people are excited for this fight at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday.
UFC 254 is exclusively available to ESPN Plus subscribers for $64.99. Visit ESPNplus.com/PPV for more details. For a chance to win $10,000 plus a virtual meet and greet with the Dan Le Batard Show gang, simple. Text Le Batard to 77333. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts. Limit one entry per day. See AdvanceAutoParts.com for all the details.
So Mike McCarthy thought that Dallas's preparation coming into the game was his best of the year, the best preparation they've had the entire year, the Dallas Cowboys. We'll get to Ron McGill in a second, but first, Cody, you've got here a tweet. Today's Back in My Day did its job. It was eloquent, insightful, and yet mediocre at the same time. I give it 3.35 stars. Might try it again. Christine, how many curses were there last night? Give me a number of curses at the television watching the Bills play.
Infinite.
Oh, wow. Okay, very good. Give her the kazoos so we could get to Ron McGill.
And finally, Doritos were invented at Disneyland, and Dan is forever grateful.
Yes, that's right.
Yes.
And all who isn't?
Are. Right.
We all are. Thank you, Stu Gatz. Don't single me out.
I got your back,
that was unnecessary. Yep. So Ron McGill is with us now. If you guys have any questions, 786-456-4837. Start us off, Roy. What do you have for Ron McGill?
Ron, there's a primate in Asia called... Sorry. There's a primate in Asia called Loris, and apparently it has flesh-rotting venom, and is one of the world's only venomous animals, or mammals, actually. Can you describe what a Loris is?
She's really thrown you off of your game. She's really... Roy, we'll come back to you.
Thank you.
See if you can get Princess Claire under control.
Is she okay? Like,
a reasonable question. Billy, what do you have for Ron McGill?
Ron, there was a story that in San Francisco, a lemur went missing. Now, they ended up finding the lemur, but they thought that it was stolen. Has an animal ever been kidnapped or an attempted kidnap at the zoo?
Yes, we've actually had animals stolen. We had about 30 years ago, a couple of our show parrots were stolen from the amphitheater, never to be retrieved. And we did catch someone trying to steal a tortoise. That person was caught and charged, but the parrots sadly were never found, and they were stolen, and that was the beginning of a very intricate alarm system here at the zoo, along with video surveillance.
What is the criminal penalty for trying to steal a turtle?
An endangered species is a federal act. It's a federal violation, so it's it could be pretty severe. As far as the parrots go, stealing the parrots, because they were show trained and they were worth thousands of dollars each, it was grand larceny, so that's also quite steep.
So those people had no idea, though, that they were looking at very stiff penalties when they're trying to steal those particular animals.
You know what? I think most of those people really aren't very high on the intelligence scale, I don't think they care about the penalty. I think they all think they're, immune to anything. Unfortunately, they got away with that time, but we have caught other people and doing other things that have been really outrageous that have been prosecuted.
Parker, you're on with Ron McGill. Go ahead, Parker.
Hey, Ron, if you could have the tail of a primate or the feet of a primate, which would you choose?
Oh, I would choose the tail of a spider monkey or a howler monkey because it's a prehensile tail. It's giving me an extra arm. That gives me like five limbs to grab things with. Definitely go with that because I'm happy with my arms and my hands and my feet and my legs. But if I could have another one, that would be huge.
Did I skip over you saying, Ron, that there were other things, weird things that you've had to prosecute beyond thievery? Like what? Like sex on the premises or?
Oh, no, that I caught that. Dan, you know, I know this is kind of, I was here, with it was a rainy day, and I'm doing my rounds, and I walked into the aviary round room. It's an enclosed air-conditioned round room. Of course, nobody was in the zoo because it was raining, except there was somebody in the zoo. There was somebody making an adult film in our round room when I walked in and caught them.
An actual adult film? Like, it wasn't just two people? There was an entire...
No, crew? It wasn't a whole crew. It was this
catering?
This woman... The woman, she was pleasuring herself there while her boyfriend was holding her, and the other guy was photographing the whole thing.
Okay.
They ran out. They got away.
Baby.
People told me, you're lying, Ron. You're making that up. I go, no, I'm not making it up. And for weeks, I mean, I know I put myself out on a limb by doing this. I searched sites using different keywords, you know, wildlife or all kinds of animal stuff.
Oh, no.
And,
baby?
But Dan, I found it. I found it. And when I showed it to security and I said, look, does that look familiar? Does that background look familiar to you? And they go, yeah. And that's when they start installing all the cameras, the security cameras and everything. But
Billy.
Yeah, they laughed at me. They said I was making it up.
Billy, why is your head in your hands? Like, it's just we're consulting the animal doctor on facts, and he tells great stories. What's the problem?
I was wondering about a lemur napping, and now, you know, this is what it's turned into.
Yeah, I just like the idea. Now, is there a penalty for that, though? Like, if they hadn't run out of the place.
Of course, it's indecency. You can't do something like that in public, Dan.
It's a stiff fine.
Would you just chase them down, though? Would you chase them down?
I tried, but they really ran. They were pretty young, and they were pretty scared, and, you know, they literally jumped right out and jumped over the fence out into the parking lot. So, you know, they were fast. But I busted them, and trust me, it was a shocker to me. And what was really sad was I caught them at the end of their film, because when I was actually able to find the film on a site, they had been to several other sites before then at the zoo and documented their little activity.
Real sticky situation.
I mean, I don't know.
Okay, we need to change the subject. I mean, what happened to the...
You're the one who said it was a real shocker.
No!
Ali, you're on with Ron McGill of Zoo Miami. Go ahead, Ali.
Yeah, well, do you believe in animal ghosts and if there's such a thing?
Do I believe in ghosts? Is that what he said?
Animal ghosts.
Animal ghosts.
I believe in animal spirits, yes. I believe every living thing has a spirit. I do.
Okay, that petered out. But the last time we asked him about ghosts, he had that amazing story.
Have you ever seen an animal ghost?
That was different. I've never seen an animal ghost.
You ever heard an animal ghost?
You know, I don't know if it's that I'm really tired sometimes, but yeah, every now and then I swear I hear the clicking of my dog's toes walking on the tile sometime. I mean, maybe it's just wishful thinking.
Roy, that took a dark turn. Roy, what? You want to finish your question?
Dark at all? Happy, beautiful.
Yeah, well, but I just feel bad because your dog died, and you hear him.
Well, you think it's there, and then it's not.
Yeah, like
right.
That's happened to me. It makes me sad. Roy, you're on. Go ahead, ask a question without Princess Claire this time.
Right, Ron. There's a primate in Asia called the loris, who apparently has a flesh rotting venom. Can you describe what a loris is, and can you describe what other mammals have? This type of venom?
The loris is actually a type of primate. It has huge eyes. It's a nocturnal animal, doesn't get very large. Anybody saw a picture of it, I'm sure Stu Gatz is already Googling it. It's actually adorable. It has these huge alien-looking type of eyes because it is a nocturnal type of primate. It's not an animal that's going to attack you or going to do anything like that. As far as the envenomation goes, I'm not sure about the toxicity of that venom, how it's found in the saliva. But as far as other animals that have venom, the platypus is probably one of the most notorious. Has a venomous spine at the base of its tail that can pretty much hurt you pretty badly if you were to get envenomated by a platypus, but not many people are going to come across a platypus, which happens to also be one of only two egg-laying mammals in the world. So here's a bunch of information you got with one question. Good question, Roy.
Guillaume, we got a bunch of information for the last question, but it was about lemurs, and it took an unexpected turn here. Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Did you know that platypi? What is the plural?
Platypus. Platypuses.
Did you know that platypuses were venomous? Because I did not know that. What's the video we have this week that you are doing play-by-play on?
Tell me when you're ready.
Go ahead. We are ready.
Okay. All right, beautiful pool scene, guy in a pool deck. Oh, Jesus, a bear coming in. Okay, this guy must be fast asleep on his lounge because he's not even moving. This bear's getting a little drink. It's a little black bear. Nothing harmful. He's getting a little drink. Oh, no, the bear's walking to him. He still must be asleep. The bear probably smells his coke or something. Oh, he taps the foot. He's going to wake him up. This guy's going to freak. Jesus, what's going to happen? Oh, he taps him with his leg. The guy wakes up. Oh, and look what happens. What happens, Dan? What happens? Say it, Dan. The bear runs away, doesn't he? The guy moves and the bear runs away. The bear doesn't attack him. It's not vicious. It doesn't destroy him. As soon as the guy woke up, and what does he do? He reaches for his phone right away because he wants to get some kind of stupid TikTok video or something stupid to put online instead of just appreciating the moment. Like the bear, oh, comes back, taps him on the foot with his nose, thinks, what is this guy? Then the guy wakes up, like, oh, the bear goes, oh, geez, I'm out of here. But that's beautiful. Lorenzo, thank you so much for sending that, because that will show people, if you just behave and relax, these animals are much more frightened of you than you are of them. Finally, a really great video to show that point that's so important. God, you guys are good sometimes. You really are.
Thank you, Lorenzo. Thank you, Ron. Take care. Great video, have Lorenzo. I wish the audience would have been able to see it while Ron was describing it.
Don Levitard.
Why are you so bad at this?
Stugatz.
I can't answer that question. It's a good one, though. I've been thinking about it a lot.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Small business protection just got easier with more than 30 coverage options available. Progressive has you covered. More at ProgressiveCommercial.com. This is the conversational part, Dan, that you wanted me to have. I don't know how you want to do it, but if you missed any of the show, you can listen to all 3 hours of the day.
All right, hold on. Let's just stop there. Is that sponsored? Does that need to be sponsored by anybody?
No, but I will say it's time for Straight Talk. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
All right, so you've got the 100th episode of Stupidity coming out, and I hear we have some sound of Bill Simmons on the Zach Lowe podcast. They are talking about a variety of different basketball subjects, and the subject comes up of Andre Drummond and his free agency. And Andre Drummond told you on Stupidity, the 100th episode is about to drop.
Yep.
And he told you that he was opting back in Cleveland. And I guess Bill Simmons is shocked that you broke news.
So you get Drummond, he's already opted in?
Yeah, he told Stugatz he's opting in, so I'm assuming he's going to opt in.
Stugatz is breaking news now?
He broke news like 2 months ago on
Stupidity. Stugatz bomb?
Stupidity.
I love that.
Way to go, Zach. Way to stick up for Stugatz.
It was a great job by Zach. I don't blame Bill for being shocked at all. I was shocked when it happened.
Stupidity.
But the 100th episode is being released today. We're doing an award show. The Stewies. We are handing out major, major hardware today. A lot of fun. Stanzik worked very hard on putting it together, so we're excited for it.
All right, so you've got that, and I've got a genuine sort of conundrum, a dilemma. I just really don't know. I'm genuinely flummoxed on how to handle all of this Jorge Masvidal nonsense. And we'll get to that in a second, because now he's going back and forth with Billy Corbin. He's campaigning for Trump. Billy Corbin's got a movie coming out this week as he beefs back and forth with Masvidal. I don't even know where it's escalated most recently, but I just know that I'm hearing from people now that both of them are going back and forth at each other. Billy Corbin's got a movie to sell. Masvidal's got a career to sell. Masvidal believes in what it is he thinks about freedom and Cuba and Miami and Trump. And Billy Corbin's on the other side of that doing a movie about Cubans and Miami and the election of the year 2000 that you're going to see on HBO. It debuts tomorrow.
Yeah. Billy's fighting a losing battle and trying to reason with Jorge Masvidal. Think of Jorge Masvidal's climb, and now he is an audience with the most powerful family in politics right now. The most powerful man in the world has given him an audience with him and makes him feel like he matters.
A proud Miami sewer rat, literally from our streets, literally the believer of the American dream, who fought in the streets of this country in order to climb to where he is, next to the American flag and the president. Who's going to believe more in this America than Jorge Masvidal?
The most stubborn people I've run into in my life are Cuban men. Now you've given a Cuban man those credentials. not just the I overcame everything, but now I'm in with the president. You're not going to win that.
But just so that you guys know, okay, if Billy Corbin can't win, that's fine, but he's got a movie coming out.
He won't win, but Billy will try.
Oh, yeah, there's no stopping Billy Corbin.
There is no stopping him, and there is a movie on HBO that will make you understand why it is that Jorge Masvidal thinks the way he does and is willing to go down dangerous paths, even though some of the facts very obviously elude him in a way that is obvious in our South Beach sessions. No matter where you side politically, I do think that you will learn something about the Cuban-American experience by going back two decades to the 2000 election. And really what the movie's about is how Miami stole the presidential election. That the presidential election of 2000 that foretells just about everything you're seeing in America today, you could listen to it on South Beach Sessions because Billy Corbin does a very good job of describing how all of this ended up happening. But everything you see happening in America today was foretold by the year 2000 as Cubans and Americans and Americans fought over a five-year-old boy who had drifted onto our land. Cubans have a privileged position in this country that Haitians do not have with wet foot, dry foot. When we get here, we get to stay. Cubans value freedom above all else. That's how Masvidal and Cubans become that way. So when Ilian Gonzalez, his mom, dies at sea to get him here, and America doesn't understand, and Cubans feel lonely because they're like, his mother died to get him to freedom. Freedom is the thing that matters. Do not take for granted freedom. It is the one issue vote that you will find in the Cuban community. I honestly don't know where to side, though, in terms of our particular affiliation with this guy whose story we like and who we personally like, but is a bit of an affront with what he's doing dangerously now in a way that I'm having trouble getting past.
Yeah, to be clear, Wet Foot Dry Foot no longer exists, and it just further drove the divide between Democrats and some Cuban Miamians, which blame everything bad about Cuban policy on the Democratic Party.
So I want to get into with Stugatz what it is that Clayton Kershaw has to do, like what it is that it has to be for you to change your tune on Kershaw. Is it win game one, win game four, win game seven, all shutouts?
It's all shutouts. That's different. Complete game shutouts. I mean, and then we're getting somewhere. Okay. He cannot lose another postseason game for the remainder of his career.
Okay.
Yep.
But winning, how about winning? Like what, how well does he have to pitch?
Winning game one tonight will not mean
anything. Doesn't mean, but if he loses it?
It will mean everything.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Yep.
Don Levitard.
Anybody remember the late 60s singer Oliver? He had a couple of hits, including Good Morning, Starshine. That guy, he is the brother of ACC Commissioner John Swofford.
Stugatz.
Now who didn't contribute?
No, you saved the show.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
All guests on the Dan Levitard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Bob Ryan going to join us there in just a second. Listen to every single pitch of the 2020 World Series right here on ESPN Radio. Starting tonight with Game 1, coverage of the matchup between the Dodgers and Rays begins at 7:30 Eastern. Let's take a second here for our friends over at Grainger. For the ones rising to new challenges, Grainger knows that small things can make a big difference, like marking safe distances with floor tape and posting reminders to wash your hands. And as always, Grainger is there to help, offering supplies and solutions for every industry, free access to product specialists, 24/7 support, safety recovery guides, and more. It's part of their commitment to help you adapt and recover in these challenging and changing times. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by Grainger for the ones who get it done.
Bob Ryan, stay there for just a moment because I wanted to deliver some news here to Chris Cody and Billy Gill. It just happened, and Billy's got a big smile on his face locally here in Miami. When Tua entered the game last week, Stugatz's last 2 minutes, there was a television bump of 32,000 people because people were so eager, according to Barry Jackson of the Miami Herald, to just see Tua hand the ball off And now Adam Schefter is reporting, Chris, that Tua is your starter. Tua is taking.
Are you lying?
No,
it's
Tua time.
What?
It's Tua time.
I'm not ready. I'm scared. Is it time?
It's time.
You're messing with me. You're
lying. No, we're not messing with you.
You got a bye week, but it's Tua time after that.
Oh my God. I have to go.
Yes. Greg Cody, was that news to you as well? You're a Miami Herald seasoned reporter. There's been a quarterback shift in Miami.
Yeah, when they had a bye week upcoming and they gave Tua a little taste late in Sunday's game, the proverbial writing was all over the
wall. All right, you knew it, but you didn't write it in a newspaper.
Okay. I didn't know it for sure, but it's not the least bit surprising.
The writing should have been in the newspaper. It's not the least bit surprising. Your son is behaving as if he's pretty surprised and now scared. But we wanted to get Bob Ryan on because he doesn't know what a Twix is, and we will do that in just a second. But first, we got to go here to Christine Lisi.
And finally, 1 in 3 children can use a tablet before they can speak, which is more than you can say for Stu Gotz, who can't use a tablet or speak.
That's right.
Yeah, or for Greg, who thinks we're actually talking about tablets made of stone.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate you being on, Christine. You are cruel after the Bills lose.
Gives me an edge.
Yes.
It really does.
Thank you. Bob, so help us with something here. We were confused by your confusion, and thank you for joining us, about the Twix candy bar. Why did you ask the other day, what is a Twix?
First of all, there would have been less of a commotion in the world of Twitter had I declared myself to be a Satan worshiper than to be someone who was ignorant of the existence of a candy bar known as Twix. What happened was there was a tweet in which there were pictures of 4 candy bars wrappers. I believe the other 3 were Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, Milky Way, and Snickers. And in the bottom right-hand corner was Twix. I have never heard of Twix. And so I tweeted out, what the hell is Twix? And oh my goodness! The absolute horror! The idea that somehow I had gotten through life this far without knowing about Twix. Then, when it was intertwined with the fact that there was a major Seinfeld reference along the way with George and Twix, and then aren't you a Seinfeld fan? Well, I was a Seinfeld fan, but not an aficionado. I didn't see every episode. I wasn't a Seinfeld freak. I was well aware of the generalities of Seinfeld. Anyway, that's how it came about. But boy, did it raise a stir.
It's the biggest controversy of your journalistic lifetime, and I would like for you to publicly apologize, please. Are you willing to do that?
I'm not apologizing for anything. First of all, as I pointed out, and let's put the cards on the table. The discussion is fun but irrelevant to the discourse of a human discourse.
Disagree.
I said that anyone knows that there's only if we were constitutionally restricted to one candy bar for the rest of our collective lives, it would have to be Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. So that's number one. And I do mean that is my favorite my candy by far. But I managed to go through life without being aware of the existence of Twix. I'm sorry.
Okay, that is an apology, not as profuse as the one
you
just said. I'm sorry.
Well,
what do you mean?
Bob.
You just
said.
That's a figure of speech. Yeah.
Let's get him to elaborate.
That's a defiant. I'm sorry. That's not a sincere. I'm sorry.
Please stop shouting at us, okay? This has made you crazy since this weekend. Let's get you to explain your tweets here. Let's do this with the pageantry that we always do it with.
You have some splaining to do. Time to explain your tweet.
At Globe Bob Ryan on Twitter, my favorite follow on Twitter. Bob tweeted out, hasn't Tony La Russa done enough damage to baseball?
When I heard or read that he was going to be interviewed by the White Sox for the job, the issue isn't that he's 76. He's totally competent. One issue is he's in the Hall of Fame. He'd be the first person to come back after being in the Hall. They're not happy about that. No one in the Hall of Fame is happy about that at all. But the idea that he's the person that's done the most harm to baseball. He's had the biggest negative effect on baseball in the last 40 years. He's the three-point shot of baseball. In other words, because that's the worst thing that happened to basketball in my lifetime. But he's the guy that accelerated. It didn't start necessarily, but he made it. This pitching micromanaging that has manifested itself in what the Rays do, it's basically we can trace it to him and his use of Dennis Eckersley when he decided A, that Dennis Eckersley would only start a ninth inning, B, with the lead, and would never come in the game with men on base and prior to that. And the glorifying the bogus stat known as a save, and it's going on from there.
You are enraged. Bob, this is as angry as I've ever heard you on any subject.
Well, I love baseball, and he's created the four-hour game all by himself.
You want to hear angry? If only Dwight Howard had half Bill Russell's basketball IQ, competitiveness, and heart, let alone his quickness to the ball, Bill Russell would truly embarrass Dwight Howard.
Dwight Howard is bigger than Bill Russell.
Oh, boy.
So what? He's bigger. So what? A lot of people were bigger. They're bigger than guys in his time. Many of them. He was 6'9". But this came up because of Dwight Howard, who is my least favorite player of the last 15 years. He took the mantle from Chris Webber, who took it from Elvin Hayes. And there's a lineage here. And Dwight Howard is a big clown who has squandered a talent. And the idea that someone would actually consider him for the Hall of Fame is horrifying. And people walking around, oh, he's a natural Hall of Famer. Oh, please, stop it. He's a big slug.
Totally with you. For $90 a month, we had a living room, two bedrooms, and a huge kitchen. After 2 years or so, our landlord apologized and said we have to raise it to $115.
100% true. That was the first apartment we moved into after we were married in 1969. And it was the second floor of we were on the third floor of a 3-4 house dwelling. And the landlord lived on the first floor, and his father lived on the second floor. And we were on the third floor, and that's what we had for our $90 a month. That's a very spacious, nice apartment. Yes, that was the way. I'm just the world that you lived in. It also had to do with someone tweeted about tweeted about his opening salary, and then wanted to know what people in the business, what their first job payment was. And I took home $72.50 a week as a office boy for the Boston Globe from between the months of March and October in 1969. $72.50. Fortunately, my wife was teaching, and that's how we were able to get by.
It worked out okay for you as a career, Bob. Thank you for being on with us. I appreciate your lineage of hating basketball players. That was wonderful. Thank you for being on with us. Always good catching up with you.
Anytime. I'm going to go have a peanut butter cup now.
All right. Very good. He was rabid. Yes. Unreasonable.
Now to the good stuff.
All right, Cody, you got to give me something better on the subject of Tua than you just did. The Miami Dolphins are trying a quarterback, hoping that he's the best they've had since Marino. It's been a drought for many years. All you did was tell us by way of analysis, yeah, I kind of saw that coming. You didn't give us anything, longtime dinosaur columnist. Are you going to do so in the next segment?
Sure, if you want me to, absolutely.
Yes, I don't know where it was when I asked for it.
Don Levitard.
2,500 12-packs of beer would weigh roughly 24,500 pounds.
So, that's 12 tons of beer.
Stugatz.
So where does Dirk Nowitzki put that?
Right in his belly.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Getting it done, brought to you by Granger. Phil Mickelson is now playing on the PGA Champions Tour and has gotten off to a hot start heading into the Masters. With his win in the Dominion Energy Charity Classic, he became the fourth player and second this year to win his first two starts on the tour for players 50 and older. Oh, lefty. He finished at 17 under. One off the event record set by Miguel Angel Jimenez last year. Granger helps your business move forward with supplies and solutions for every industry, safety recovery guides, 24/7 support, and more. Call clickgranger.com or just stop by. If I sound sad, it's because Mickelson's no longer on the PGA Tour.
So, you know, if you're listening to this, that all of this that we do is a business. Very much so. You're reminded of it all the time, never more so than in the bare naked greed you see all over right now as we are in the middle of a sickness or grabbing at the dollars. But we're in the emotion business, and more than that, we're in the hope business. And so when it comes, Stugatz, to the greatest of the transactions in sports that get a fan base excited, there is nothing greater nothing greater in sports. Not you got the big free agent, then my team might have a young quarterback, and here he comes into the game. Yeah. I might have a quarterback for 10 years. I might get what the Chiefs now have, where they can beat you a million different ways last night with him just handing off 46 times.
I had that for a half with Sam Darnold. It's gone. Mike had it for a couple of games with Baker. It's probably
but
gone.
But now Chris Cody is a fascinating combination. Billy, I want to hear how you feel. I want to hear. It's been a long time since we had a quarterback. Cody, I want to hear how you feel. Not since Marino. We're going back a ways, man. The Dolphins were relevant every year with Marino because they had one of those. They experienced this at the very beginning with Dan Marino. It was obvious, oh, that guy is going to be our future for 15 years. That guy, if he stays healthy, is going to make us matter every single year. And now Tua is coming into the game. Tua?
This is super different because they had an early round draft pick, a high draft pick in Ryan Tannehill. He was serviceable, and he's still a good pro in the NFL. He didn't excite the base the way that Tua does. He's a superstar.
I don't know how to feel. I'm nervous. I'm excited. I just want to buy tickets to the game in 2 weeks against the Rams. I can't believe Aaron Donald is going to be his first start. That scares me. I don't know what to do right now.
Billy, what kind of state are you in?
I feel bad for Ryan Fitzpatrick. I mean, I feel like he was doing a decent job, future Hall of Famer. Hopefully things work out for Tua. I'm hoping he kind of stepped aside. He said, you know what? It's Tua time now. Let the young man soar, but we'll see. I'm a little worried. I told you this the other day. Tua looked a little small to me the other day. I'm a little worried
but
about
Fitzpatrick
that.
But Fitzpatrick is small. Fitzpatrick is small. He's just got a substantive beard. Yes, he did look small. But
different small.
He is a college star.
Don't you think this has everything to do with, hey, we have Ryan Fitzpatrick. We're 3-3. Fitzpatrick's not going to win us a Super Bowl. We have a chance at winning this division. AFC seems to be wide open. Let's put the young guy in and see if he's good enough. Perhaps he could take us places we didn't think we were going to go.
Or he's just healthy and ready. Because Fitzpatrick was always holding the job. They're coming off of their two best back-to-back victories, and I can't remember how long. The Dolphins don't play on the positive side of blowouts. Like Ryan Fitzpatrick, I told you, Ryan Fitzpatrick in San Francisco just put up a 40-point game. The Dolphins have had five of those in the last 20 years. Five, last in the league by miles. Ryan, go sit on the bench because it's Tua time.
Yeah, he's got to be showing stuff at practice. You got to think. This is naturally when you have a young quarterback that you're excited about. Usually you see it with a struggling team, not a 3-3 team that's in the fight for the division. After the bye week, you start the young quarterback. So he must be impressing them for this to be the plan.
I would also think that what you're going with there with a healthy Tua, because they have shown promise of winning the division even if you don't play Tua, but this is the kind of move that you make when you believe in the investment you've made. And I'm guessing the Dolphins and Brian Flores feel like, and it's obvious that you could say this about a lot of teams, we're a quarterback away. We're a quarterback that is special away.
And right, you give him enough time here, and if he's not any good, if he turns out to be lousy, then you have the Texans pick, and you might turn that into Trevor Lawrence. I mean, how about that?
I think you're thinking a few steps ahead.
What are you doing there? You're already getting rid of Tua after
going to Trevor Lawrence.
Nine games?
Bingo.
Way to go, Stugatz. Way to ruin this. We haven't gotten Greg Cody, the guy who loves Miami, loves the Dolphins, is a homer, once traded Marino, and wanted to keep Scott Mitchell. It's Tua time, baby.
Well, first of all, thank you for giving me all this time to speak about
this.
Hope
you enjoyed the Dan Lebatard Show on ESPN Radio.
World star!